it's time, y'all. It's time. It's this thing that I'm holding in my hand, this telephone, this camera, it is quite powerful. Social media is powerful. We can do something with this. If we want to change, we can really, truly make it happen. You know, we sit out here and talk about, oh, we need the next so-and-so and this and that. No, you don't. No, you don't. Start in your own home. Start with you.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Millennial Revolver Show. Zaina, I know we had a variety of things to talk about today on our menu, but you had some breaking news for us, so let's go ahead and hit the scene.
So on July 9th, a 20-year-old woman by the name of Sandra Bland was pulled over at a traffic light because she did not signal while switching lanes. 4 days later, this woman was found in her cell, dead. The story is that she committed suicide, that she was found hanging, and that it was self-inflicted. Family members, friends are outraged by saying that this is not the woman that they knew, that they 100% know that there was some foul play. This woman also had called a bondsman while she was in jail in the hopes of getting out.
I'm speechless.
I'm sitting here and I'm trying to form the words and I'm trying to make sense of this. And it is so heart-wrenching, kind of coming off of this past year and what we've been seeing in police brutality. I want to piggyback off by saying that someone also was recording Sandra's arrest, and in this recording, you hear her saying that they're slamming her head on the pavement, very aggressively putting her. I want to ask, how does someone that's getting pulled over for not switching
lanes?
How
does someone get pulled over for a routine traffic stop and end up dead hours or days later?
Sandra was 28 years old. She moved from Chicago to Texas in the hopes of starting a new job at her alma mater. It's so heart-wrenching. And we found a video of her on Twitter talking about essentially the power of one and how if we want change, we need to go for it, and how we're so lucky to live in the time where we have social media to connect and to show what is going on. And
it's basically the point of the show, Zaina.
It is. And again, I'm standing here and I'm so lost for words and I'm tired. I'm so tired of every other day hearing stories like this.
It's exhausting.
And we need to do something because it's 2015, it's July, and about 600 people have been killed by cops. And they're trying to tell us that this woman killed herself in her jail cell. She didn't have blankets. She didn't have shoelaces. How does this happen? How do you pretend? How do you fake us like this? How are you trying to tell us that this bright woman who had a bright future ahead of her?
No signs of suicide.
No, not at all. And even if she, you know, people are saying, oh, there's potentially she had depression in her history or whatever, that does not mean that a woman
is suicidal.
Hangs herself over a traffic incident, and we have video footage of her being very aggressively taken to the ground. And also there were reports saying that when she was on the phone with, I believe it was a bondsman or one of her family members, that she believes that they broke her arm during this arrest.
Wow.
How does that happen? How does it happen? You're black and you're in Texas. That's how it happens.
I mean,
let's call it as it is.
That's what it looks like right now. I mean, that police department better have a explanation.
No, they don't have an explanation. Their explanation is crap because we all know that's not what happened. When her family members, all of them saying there's no way. When she called a bondsman, like she called to get out of jail.
Yeah, why would you commit suicide in jail if you're trying to leave jail? It just doesn't add up. And we're going to bring more information on this story.
Absolutely. As more things come to light. Absolutely.
We just wanted to get that breaking news in, and we'll continue with the show. We'll be back after this.
This is the way I live. Young boy still pushing big whips. Get money, lay low and chill. So trill, so ill, so real. I'ma do what I feel. Oh, this is the way.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Millennial Revolver Show with your co-host, Nick, and your host,
Zaina Farah.
As always, Zaina, this is our third episode. This ball is really moving, huh?
I know, I'm excited.
We're getting some momentum here.
Definitely. I feel like the more episodes that we record, the more things I want to talk about.
Right.
So happy to have this platform and have people listening in with us.
Yeah, you mentioned to me you want to speak to our listeners, our Revolvers.
Yes, I did before I wanted to jump into our show. As much as Nick and I have a reach and have a lot of things that we feel we want to bring attention to you guys, please, please feel free to reach out to us. If you feel like there are topics that we're personally missing or the mainstream media is missing, as much as this show is about what me and Nick can bring to you guys, it's about what you guys can bring to all of us.
Right.
We really want to have the show as kind of building a community and coming together and really helping each other to erase this ignorance that sometimes we have when we don't know things.
Definitely. All feedback is welcomed. No comment is a bad comment. So if you got anything on your mind, hit us up at our Facebook page at The MR Page or on our Twitter account at The MR Show. Also, we have email at themrshow@gmail.com.
Definitely. We hope to hear from you guys. Nick, when I say the word polygamy, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Isn't it illegal? Right? Or multiple wives? I'm thinking of Big Love.
I think of
Bonnets. Show on HBO. Did you ever watch that show?
No, I didn't. What was that show about?
It was a show called Big Love.
Okay.
And it was about a Mormon family. And it was basically about polygamy. He had like several wives. So it was a pretty good show.
So polygamy in Mormons, is that allowed?
I'm not entirely sure, but I think it's not recognized by the religion anymore.
Google search.
Yeah, we should probably pull
that up. We'll come back to y'all on that one.
But yeah, I'm
sorry,
sure.
Sorry, our Mormon listeners, that we don't know this, but we will correct our ignorance. Nick's going to get on the keys real quick. Now, the reason I asked Nick what he thought about polygamy is we came across a very interesting article and it sparked a lot of fireworks in our head and we really wanted to know what you guys think about this. So the article started talking about how, you know, the recent Supreme Court ruling with same-sex marriage broke a lot of barriers. Okay. So the article said, well, what's next and why not polygamy? Nick, what do you think of that?
Yeah, I brought it up. I was thinking about it the other day. I was with this whole gay marriage law going into effect nationally. I came across an article that said, hey, why not polygamy? And I thought to myself, I never actually even considered it, but I thought to myself, that's kind of interesting. You can't really say polygamy is, I guess, illegal now, right?
This is what I got from the article. So in the past, traditional marriage in the eyes of the law was between a male and a woman, okay? Now, I think there are two key reasons why this was. Number one, when I say traditional, it was for religious reasons, right? Across the boards, all religious texts specifically cite that, you know, union should be between a man and a woman. Now, you can argue about that, you can make your own argument, but it's there. So it's number one. Number two is the fact that, biologically speaking, men and women are the only people or the only sexes that come together and can conceive a child. So by those two laws, it should always be marriage should always be between a man and a woman.
As far as the traditional aspect is concerned, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, 2015. Now, before I get into the Supreme Court, real side note, we're not the first people to do this. Mexico also did this recently. France did this recently. Just throwing that out there. It's not just America that's legalizing this. But so the Supreme Court ruling now making same-sex marriage legal.
Nationally
is kind of cutting those two things that I was just talking about, being between a man and a woman and religious sex. So now it's
any traditional aspects is just cutting it down, basically.
So really what this article was saying is that, well, now marriage is between people that make this commitment to each other, form a union, and that by that sense, by, you know, they're being in love or whatever the case, by that sense, the government should offer them certain legal rights. Like, that's now what it is, right?
Yes, the article was saying now that the government recognizes gay marriages and gives the same rights to same-sex couples. It's not so much arguing for polygamy, it's just bringing up a very valid point that you can't discriminate against a polygamous marriage on the grounds of traditional marriages. But also, it was taking the stance from a legal aspect. I kind of understand it. It's kind of a conundrum because polygamy is marriage with multiple people. So say if the husband dies, like, who gets all the money? Is it equally divided? I could see where some complications and some problems could arise from that. So unless they stipulate that one person is considered the sole beneficiary, I don't know, maybe in the eyes of the law, that's where it starts getting complicated.
Yeah, and I think it's going to continue. So you're right. So where's the line? So it's interesting to see. And hey, maybe this is not something that's going to happen in our lifetime. Maybe it's not going to happen at all. But I think one of the key reasons that this is not something that would quickly happen is that it's not talked about. It's also something that we have this negative connotations in our head, obviously, when we think about polygamous marriage. And disclaimer, this is not me saying that we should have legally say that polygamy should be legal. It's just an interesting thing to talk about, that now that marriage is no longer in the traditional sense, where is the line drawn with this, you know, social freedom, as you would say. Now, Nick, I have a quick question for you.
Yeah,
is
go ahead.
Polygamy always a man with a bunch of wives?
That is the only cases that I've seen. I mean, I'm sure you could, you know, argue the other way, that polygamy's both ways, but I've never seen a female with multiple husbands. Have you seen that before?
Well, no, now it gets complicated. What about polygamy with homosexuality?
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
You didn't?
No, I didn't. What I didn't even.
Yeah.
That didn't even occur.
Oh my God.
That's a whole. That's a whole other road.
Their Bibles now. Like, God, please, this wrath is gonna.
I'm like, oh my gosh! I know the Bible thumpers are gonna be just having heart attacks and getting admitted left and right.
This is not something you want to be talking about during Ramadan. This is so bad. Do not mention this to anyone during Ramadan.
Oh my gosh. See, that's your traditional aspects right there. That's what they're arguing for.
No, but that's.
What was the other point in the article?
I hate to use the word insane, but it's very insane right now to think that something like that can even be talked about, that it can be okay. But it's funny because probably those exact words were people that were saying homosexuality was probably something crazy to be talked about.
You remind me of the other point in the article. It was saying the fact that there's not any advocation for the legality of polygamous marriages.
It's not popular.
Like it's not becoming a movement. They're saying that's another detriment for its success, is that there's just not that many people behind it pushing for it.
I was going to say is I would wonder how common it is. I wonder how common it is, because like you said, we have these like little stigmas in our head what it is. But
yeah,
it's kind of it's
taboo and people are scared of it. They don't understand it, and
so it's so out there. It's very. And I don't know if you can really compare. It's not a comparison to same-sex marriage. That's just a whole new ballgame.
Hello everybody, welcome to The Preview, where we preview new tracks from new artists. This track is titled Kings from the artist Grades. Go ahead and check that out on our SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/suitmusic. That's music with a Z. Enjoy. I'll treat you like a king, I'll treat you like the one and only. I could be your queen, give you everything you need. You like a king, I'll treat you like the one and only. I could be your queen. Welcome back to the Millennium Revolver Show. So, Zaina, what were you telling me about this Brooklyn bar is doing what now with its drinks?
Well, before I tell you exactly what they're doing, I want to ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
So, if you're at a bar, it's the end of the night, you get your tab, okay, and you notice a really big percent of it is gone. How would you feel about that?
I would feel like the bartender is probably hitting on me and wants to get my number.
Sounds like you. But really, so this is what a Brooklyn bar is doing now for its female guests, but it's not because it's hitting on them. What they're going to be doing, what they have done is they're knocking 23% off the bar tab. And the reason is because they're protesting the wage gap between men and women.
I think the bar owner's actual quote was, "This is some shameful shit."
And that's exactly why they're doing so. Now, you might be wondering why the 23% off. Now, the reason is that the wage gap between men and women, as recorded by the U.S. Labor Department, is 77%. So that means two specific things with this statistic.
Okay.
That A, women are holding the same jobs as men, and they're getting paid less at the same level. And B, there are more men in these high-paying jobs.
Okay, so what kind of jobs are you talking about? Are you talking about, like, business jobs?
Across like the board, everything, but a quick stat that I can give you that'll kind of explain what I'm talking about. The percentage of CEOs that are women that are in Fortune 500 companies It's only 4%.
Wow.
4.6 to be exact.
Yeah, I knew it was something small. I feel like I can count the number of women CEOs on two hands. Mm-hmm.
In families, you can always see that typically the male is expected to bring in
be the breadwinner.
Right?
Yeah,
that's the traditional feel.
Yeah, the traditional view on
it. So interesting that, you know, as a kid, you're growing up as a girl, you're almost not even expected to be making that money, which so a lot of people equates in their minds as, well, you don't even need that type of education, or you wouldn't even be expected or even thought of to do that.
Yeah, and that might even creep into the mind of an employer, like you might not even need that much money because you're not supporting your family, when in actuality, in today's world, it takes dual income families in most cities. I know we live in Southern California. My parents were dual income parents, and I know a lot of parents are. Also, it's kind of disturbing to see that someone with the same educational level and job status as a male, as a female and male, if you're working for the same company, have the same title, you're looking at about, you know, a 23% to 30% wage discrepancy. I have some statistics right here in front of me. Straight out of college, women make about $3 less per hour than men. So, Zaina, I guess I'm buying next time.
Well, here's the thing is I'm going to be pushing to help change that. And that's why we're talking about it today. And it really gets worse specifically for minority women. Statistics show that if you are an African-American female and you are most likely being paid only 68% of what males are being paid. If you are a Latina woman, you are most likely only getting paid 54%.
Yeah, it's 54% for Latino women.
Was that correct?
For the wage discrepancy for African American females, it's 64%. And then for females as a whole, it's somewhere between 77% to 78%, depending on your source. But yeah, it's the one that catches my eye.
Women,
yeah, being Latino,
yeah.
To see that my sister could be getting, you know, almost half of what someone else is getting paid for the exact same position and the same work, I think it's pretty disturbing, and that's kind of wrong.
Going back to where we put our youth and what direction we set them up for, a fantastic story of this is a great demonstration of what we like to call here at the show the power of one. And today, the power of one was demonstrated by a 9-year-old in Canada. She went to her local library that she frequently visits, noticed that there was a summer robotics program. Now, when she tried to sign up for this program, she was denied.
Why? I want to know why right now.
She was denied because she was a girl.
Wow.
The library said that this program was specific to boys because, and I quote, boys do not develop as during the summer.
What do you mean by that? Like, they don't, like, physically develop or mentally develop?
The science program doesn't allow girls because boys' academic and literary skills don't improve over the summer break.
And female skills do? Don't?
No, actually. And I went and researched this specifically to make sure that that was the case. And it's absolutely untrue. Something that they call the summer slide is that's what coined by administrators that work in the education school. It's when kids aren't in school, you know, they have this, you know,
period of stagnation and
they're
just
not
getting stimulated.
They're not doing math.
Okay, I know what you're going with this.
So naturally their skills aren't being practiced.
They're not being used at all. So they're just getting kind of dumber a little bit.
So the problem is that when the kids are coming back to school that first month is the teachers are reteaching them. So that time that they're spending could have been spent somewhere else.
But
the fact that this was the reason the library said is so mind-boggling. And a 9-year-old by the name of Cash Kayan felt the same way. So what she did is she took to the internet, started a petition against the library to let her enter the program.
How did she do that?
She went on one of those fun sites, sites that you can go fund me. The specific one she used was change.org.
Okay.
She said her initial goal was to get 10 signatures. Guess what she had?
I'm going to say like 100.
Within 1 week, she had over 1,000 signatures.
Whoa, that's crazy.
Yes.
Dang, so that's a pretty cool website. People could just go on. What is it, change.org?
Yes, change.org.
So they just sign petitions and just trying to get a movement started?
Exactly.
That's pretty cool.
And the awesome thing about this is this petition really sparked the interest and the recognition of the internet online. Specifically, a robotics engineer, a female actually, that works in NYC, saw it, commented, and reached out to the 9-year-old and told her that, you know, hey, I work in this department and please reach out to me. I would love to talk to you, give you advice. I mean, it was so awesome to see how the internet was really helping right. push this. But again, so disheartening that this 9-year-old girl had to go through the process of trying to petition to allow this library
just to go to summer camp.
Yeah. And let me and this is so crazy. And going back That's to insane. Setting up our youth and setting up our girls and allowing them to get to places to where they want to be. It's statistically been proven. Again, the Labor Department said that 30% of women only occupy science and mathematical industries.
Honestly, I can remember back in college that there wasn't that many computer technicians that are female. You don't see that many females in like the mathematics courses. Although the ones that were in there, I would say are really good at it. And they actually helped me pass class. Mm.
Well, so that's the thing. So if Cash wasn't as brave as she was to go through the trouble, and again, this girl's 9 years old.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. The fact that she had
the, excuse my friends, balls to actually do that, or excuse me, better yet, the ovaries to do that, you know, that she would have walked away from that library, not entered the robotics program, not started that passion.
Yeah, she didn't take no for an answer. She refused. She said, you know what, this is what I want to do, and I'm being wronged here.
And just
so I'm gonna do something about it.
Just by that.
And that's what we're all about. Mm-hmm.
Just through then, the power of one, this girl was able to make a change, and now she made it easier for the girl behind us. And that's where they really want to talk about. This isn't just about women. This is about all of us. Just like Nick said, we have women in our lives, and these people are our mothers, our sisters, our daughters, whatever the case may be, and they're getting paid less. They're pushing and they're working as hard as they can. They have kids they're supporting. They're running their lives. And it's 2015 and we're paying them less.
Yeah, and I'm all for paying someone less for doing different work or someone else is more qualified than someone else, some
absolutely,
other person.
Absolutely.
But if you're talking like the same exact job position in a corporate setting, same exact job titles and doing the same exact work, and they're just a wage discrepancy based on a gender, I feel like that's a slippery slope because that could be a wage discrepancy based on a race. You know, why, who's to say I won't get paid less because I'm Latino or because I'm Mexican, or, you know, you might get paid less because you're a female. I feel like we're arguing for the same thing. As long as it's equality around, you know, across all boards, that's how it should be.
Speaking of all boards, you were actually asking me what specific professions I was talking about, remember?
Right, yeah. I wanted to know, like, what industries you were talking about.
Would you believe me if I said this even applies to professional sports?
Yeah, I wouldn't have believed you, but then you told me to go check something out. So this past weekend, this past July 4th weekend, we had the United States women's soccer team taking gold. Yay, insert sound here of applause. Yeah, so they took gold. And we came across this very interesting article titled Five Inequalities Female Athletics Still Face Even If They're World Champ. They still face a wage gap. The U.S. women's soccer team was awarded $2 million for winning the gold in the World Cup. So winning the whole thing, getting $2 million. Every men's team was awarded $1.5 million just for playing in each World Cup match that they were in.
You said 1.5?
1.5 million. Okay, just for playing. For losing the first round, they were awarded $8 million. And that's pretty crazy because, you know, the women's soccer team can win the entire gold and get $2 million. Now, I've heard the argument and the side that women's sports might not be as funded as a male sport. So maybe that's why the payout isn't as great or isn't equal, just because of the demand and the revenue that the sport generates.
And that in itself kind of brings an issue. How viewed was this game?
Yeah, so the ratings on this game viewed higher than the Game 7 NBA Finals or any NBA Finals game that happened this year past with LeBron and Steph Curry with the shots. But also rated higher than any World Series game that in this past year, rated higher than any of those. So it was a pretty watched event nationally,
and while
over 25 million.
And while I think it is, of course, something you want to think about, that these are definitely two different demands and two different viewers, but this is a worldwide competition, and you're telling me that men that lost were paid $8 million. That lost
$8 million.
But women that won only paid $2 million, cha-ching. And this game was watched more than any male sport, the exclusion of football?
Excluding football,
that
yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty astounding.
If you don't see the wage gap in that,
Yeah, and it's not like we're not watching. I mean, we're watching, so you would think the money would be there. Anyways, got one more for you that stood out to me. It says they have dealt with inequitable media representation. So ESPN SportsCenter and Fox Sports One's Fox Sports Live devoted less than 1% of total airtime to women's sports in the last year. 40% of all sports participants are female. Yet women's sports receive only 4% of all sports media coverage.
So, Nick, going back to what you were saying, how, well, male sports are more watched, right? You were talking about that. How can female sports be watched if,
if
it's
not
on?
Being broadcasted.
If they're not talking about
I know. I guess you kind of got me there. I mean, you can't really, you know, say you want to watch something that's not being broadcasted.
And I know, Nick, me and you were talking, and you told me that out of all sports athletics, that 40% of girls make it up. 40% of girls are involved in athletics.
Yeah.
So it's not this.
That's a lot of people. I mean, if you think about, you know, all of athletics and everyone you know that's athletic, 40% of them are female.
It's a lot
of
people. Exactly. So women are very much involved in sports. Yet you said less than 1% they're on airtime.
Yeah. So, I mean, the fact that the media is not devoting the necessary coverage to women's sport could be a detriment as to why it's not creating the revenue or the amount of attention that you would think it has. But I would like to think that would change. But trust me when I say, if there's money in the sport and the revenue streams start to increase, you'll start seeing all these broadcasting television events going after
it. I disagree with you, because here we have a world watched event. Okay. And it still didn't get the recognition. And not only that, we won.
Yeah.
And you know why I think the reason why women are not more portrayed in the media in this way is because there is a stigma with women that we're delicate and feminine creatures. And, you know, this is not our image.
Right.
You know, men are the quote unquote physically superior gender, not women.
Right.
That's not how the media wants to view us. That's not how they want to put us out there.
Exactly.
So they pull us back. So there, it's not out there as women, as these strong, capable, and so talented. These girls can say that my team is better than anyone in the world.
Yeah, they're the tip of the sword of the entire world, the entire female athletic, you know, soccer department.
And that's the thing, and we're hiding this, and we're making it harder for talented women to get in jobs all across the board, from soccer to technology. It's
But then, Zane, I have a question for you. I mean, it's just, I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen a WNBA game, but I've watched, you know, probably a handful of minutes. I won't even say a game. I've watched a handful of minutes over the years. And every time I tune in, whether it be a playoff game or a regular season game, if I can find it, first of all, people aren't there. It's just, it's something that doesn't sell. For some reason, the NBA is one of the thriving, most increased revenue sports in America, but when it comes to women's basketball, it's virtually, you know, ghost town.
And I'll be honest, as a female basketball player, I myself also don't watch WNBA.
Yeah, so I don't know what it is. I mean, I don't know if we can get to the root. Maybe it's an entertainment thing. I mean, I really have no idea.
Well,
I know, I mean, U.S., the women's soccer team is very entertaining to me. I actually was watching the women's soccer team more than the men's team, and I started watching the men's team because of the women's team, because they were so good. Little did I know the men's team is not that good, so I mean, it's kind of hard to watch them.
Yeah, it's definitely the case, but I guess ultimately what we're saying is it's not done. We're not done trying to get on equal ground, and this isn't talking about men being more than women, or men should, you know, shouldn't be in certain jobs. We need to put women there. It's about having an equal footing.
It's just crazy to see that the issues that we're bringing up in the small world, as far as everyday jobs or corporate jobs or just everyday American jobs that we can access, it's crazy to see in the sports and entertainment world the same thing is going on. These women are at the tip of their sport and at the top of their prime, and they're not getting compensated for it. They're getting compensated for it, but just not as much as, you know, a male might.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, think about it. If you're a Latina woman, right, and you work at a job and you find out that your male coworker is making $20 an hour and you're making $9.20.
Yeah, I mean, you know? I would be upset. I would be beyond upset, actually. That's going to do it for us today on the show, guys. Thank you for joining us again. I'm your co-host, Nick. Your host, Zaina Farah, here as always. Catch us on Mondays, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. And a quick shout-out to our new affiliates out in Miami, MSL Radio. Go ahead and follow them on Twitter. And we look forward to our relationship with them. Have a great night, guys. See you next week. She just wanna Instagram mad life. Maybe I was different in the past life. Maybe I should drink less at night. But yo, you got this energy. Lionheart Pharaoh.